Welcome to Indie Movie Cast, a podcast for indie movie makers by indie movie makers. I'm Alex.
I'm Jay.
I'm Dominic.
And we have a special guest host,
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Alex.
How are you doing? Thanks for coming. Michelle is a local actress here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She is one of Ultimatum Pictures' little starlets. She's been in two Ultimatum Pictures, right, Michelle?
Yes, they have.
Okay, you played Lilith in the fan favorite Cannibless. That's where you played the devil. And then you were in a movie called Voiceover that we made.
Awesome.
So thanks for joining us, Michelle. And today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about acting, but first I wanted to bring this up. We are all from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We live and work and make movies here. Jay, Dominic, and I are all part of Ultimatum Pictures, and Michelle is as well sometimes. Ultimatum Pictures is a movie making group in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And something exciting happened for our city lately. In the past week or so, there's a magazine out called Movie Maker Magazine, and every year they do the list of top 10 cities for filmmakers to live and work in. And they base this off of, well, this is what they base it off of, a swarm of factors: cost of living, employment opportunities, housing costs, crime rates, and quality of life, state and city financial incentives, access to talent, size, and closeness, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they have all kinds of criteria, but the good news is Albuquerque, New Mexico is the number one city in the United States to live and work in the movies. How about that, guys?
I thought because Yay. We had a lot of sunlight, too.
Yeah, sunlight. Yeah, and so you're right. And so the top 10 list is Albuquerque's number one, Los Angeles, California is number two. And I would think they're dropping pretty quickly because it's hard to shoot a movie in LA unless I'm wrong. But number three is Shreveport, Louisiana, where they do shoot a lot of stuff. Number four is New York, New York. Five, Austin, Texas, which I would guess is going to grow in the next few years. Six is Stamford, Connecticut, which is kind of random. Seven is Boston, Massachusetts. Eight, Detroit, Michigan. Nine, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And 10, Seattle, Washington. So, yeah, we beat all the big cities.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I know it's just a magazine and it's just a list, but, you know, who would ever thought? I mean, we grew up here and the movies have just kind of come in here the last 5 or 6 years. But before that, I'd never even seen a movie set. Have you guys?
I've never even seen a movie.
I think like two years ago, we were like, or actually about a year and a half ago, we were like number four on the list. And I remember Ann Lerner, our head awesome film office person, talking about how we were like number four on the list. And about 7 years ago or something, we were like, we were nowhere to be seen on this list.
Yeah.
So right after they did Terminator, I know that we were like number four. We were just behind LA, New York, and I think it was probably Louisiana. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's pretty tremendous. It's a great thing. And when I think about it, a lot of movies have shot here. I mean, just thinking about the mm-hmm. movies out right now, the ones we're going to review today are Book of Eli and Legion, which were both shot here. Crazy Heart was mm-hmm. shot here. You said Terminator Salvation, Men Who Stare at Goats. What else, guys?
Passion Play is currently shooting here.
Passion Play is currently shooting here, correct. MacGruber, In Plain mm-hmm. Sight, the TV show, Crash, the TV show, Breaking Bad, the TV show.
The Lost Room.
The Lost Room, which was a miniseries a few years ago. Anyway, it seems like we're always going to Albuquerque movies.
Oh, the brilliant movie, The Spirit.
Yeah, The Spirit, The Eye.
Remember that piece of gold?
Yeah, The Eye, a lot of video stuff, a Van Damme movie here, a Jackie Chan movie.
Jackie Chan movie? Yeah,
the Jackie Chan movie. That's
Spy Next Door.
The Spy Next Door, yeah, that was shot here as well. So, yeah, Jackie Chan.
Observe and Report.
Yeah, Observe and Report. Yeah, so it's huge, and so that's why we're at the top of the list.
Wild Hogs.
Yeah, and then
Wild hogs.
yeah, Wild Hogs is on the stinker list for sure. But
Yeah,
yeah, but I found
that's
this.
what happens when you don't cast Michelle as the nurse
Oh,
or the dental hygienist.
did you audition for Wild Hogs and they didn't cast you?
I did, a bunch of jerks.
There is in the St. Louis News blog, they were really jealous, St. Louis. They were
Jealous, why?
well, they this is what they said. They're like, surely the people behind a magazine called Movie Maker would have seen Up in the Air. Surely those same people, if they were compiling a list of the 10 best cities in the U.S. for movie makers, would take note of how well St. Louis plays Omaha and several other middle American cities, not to mention the impassioned speech George Clooney makes about halfway through the praise of Lambert Airport. Wouldn't they? Apparently not. That's a far more logical explanation for St. Louis's absence from Movie Maker's annual list. We think so, anyway. Are we not the center of movie making universe right now? But instead, the top city for movie makers is dot 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 Albuquerque, New Mexico. And
Yay.
yeah, so Movie Maker editor Jennifer Woods says, quote, Albuquerque has been working hard for the top spot for many years now. The city's great weather, low cost of living, generous financial incentives, talented crew base, helpful film office, and first-class production facilities in the Albuquerque studios are just a few reasons Albuquerque scored our highest marks this year. And then the article continues, well then, great weather. We sure can't compete with that. Though St. Louis is jealous.
Poor
They
St.
sound a little
Louis.
bitter.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, up in the air. We're like, oh, no country for old men. So there, you know, because
Yeah,
that was shot
You
here, but
crazy
heart.
yeah.
Ooh. How do you
Yeah,
like
but
them apples?
We make Oscar.
yeah. And we even have Sony Pictures here, and they're just finished up Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp.
That was shot here?
Well, no, it wasn't shot here, but they're doing the animation or the not Pixar, but
Oh yeah, because they have
Talking
some,
to
yeah,
iWorks.
Sony Animation,
Guys,
yeah.
iWorks. We have Reels Channel.
And we do, we have Reels Channel. Well, Reels Channel is a movie cable channel, and our friend Casey, who plays Gracie in Canna Bless alongside Michelle here, has a TV show on that channel, which is just hilarious to watch. Yeah, so Albuquerque, guys, why? I mean, we've lived here our whole lives. Would you ever think that Hollywood would come to us? I mean, I grew up dreaming of moving to LA, like all growing up, and then all of a sudden I didn't have to. I mean, how does that happen?
I don't know. I think we all tried to move to LA. Dominic did it once, and then I did it. Failed miserably,
I
came
never did
back,
it, but I was going to.
and then more success here, breaking into the movies than anything out there. I think out in LA it's just, every single
Bunch of
person on the
mud.
planet goes out to LA to try to, get into movies, and it's just too much.
Yeah, it's too much and it's too expensive to shoot there, and I mean locations must be a nightmare. I mean, it's hard enough to park here in Albuquerque, let alone in LA. I can't even imagine setting up parking, good God. But yeah, it's and it, we do have good weather. I mean, it's kind of we kind of have like one bad weather day a week, I feel like. It seems like, but not in,
Well, except last week. Good Lord.
Yeah, but then we have really sporadic weather. So it's when it gets weird, and it does mess up shooting days a lot. But it's mostly nice, and it's long days, and there's all kinds of different places to shoot. There's a city, there's farms, there's mountains, there's rivers, there's lakes.
A lot of empty space, New Mexico.
Yeah, a lot of empty space, a lot of weird stuff. Like New Mexico has the White Sands, which is a big area where the where it's not sand. What is it?
Gypsum, isn't it?
Yeah,
Isn't it
gypsum.
gypsum?
Yeah, gypsum. Which is
And
a
we have the
white.
gypsum mines.
Yeah. So
That's
this. So this.
also.
The. Yeah. So these gypsum areas. There are these white, hilly, sandy places, and a lot. They always pass for Saudi Arabia and things like that. Like in the Transformers movie, all the stuff like in Saudi Arabia looks very white. That's because it's in the White Sands, and Year One did some shooting there, and a lot of stuff does. It's a really miserable place to shoot. I mean, it's because like the sun reflects off the sand and it goes up your shorts and it burns you. Yeah, but anyway,
Yeah,
what
they
other?
tell you not to wear boxers, and it's very true.
Yeah, it burns your
And
nuts.
also, you get smooth skin from being out in there because, you know, the wind blows and the sand gets all across you, and it makes your skin soft.
It also affects women when they don't wear panties and they're wearing dresses.
Oh, Sandy Vagina. So Michelle, what are
People
some other
sunburn.
Michelle, what are some other unique places you were thinking of?
We shot some of Border Town out at Zia Pueblo, which was similar to White Sands, but way worse. There was
Zia has some cool places. I've shot a lot in Zia as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been my least favorite location ever, but it definitely portrayed nicely on screen and gave a very isolated desert look. It was beautiful, but definitely 104 degrees outside, 12-hour days, lots of
Yeah.
sunlight.
Yeah,
Yeah, good
it's rough. I
times.
mean, there's a lot of beautiful places in New Mexico, but there's a lot of miserable places to shoot. But we should get out more, guys. We've done a lot of city movies now. We should we, our next maybe our next movie we should go out somewhere and get some beautiful landscapes and stuff. What do you think?
Come one with nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, we
Yeah.
but we've been talking about filmmaking in Albuquerque on this podcast for a while. But you know, this is Michelle, you're our first actress that has been on the show.
Oh,
Excuse me.
yay.
Yeah, so you
Thank
know,
you.
I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about acting. So you've done a lot of you've done a lot of short films, you've done a lot of commercials. Have you been in any big movies yet?
No, I haven't been in any big movies yet. I've worked on a lot of them. I'd say like 80% of them that have come through.
As part of
I've
the
had
crew
a
then.
hand in some part of it, yes. Yeah, I've been doing it for 7 years. So I came to New Mexico to move to Hollywood and didn't have to. So I'm on the same page as you guys. Happy that it came to us.
And one of the first projects that you worked on was it was Wildfire, correct?
Yes, it was Wildfire, and we did that in Agadonis and on a sound stage, and I rode a horse all the time, and it was very mundane and very fun. It was
Well,
fun,
what were
actually.
you doing on it? Were you second team? Were you
I was, yes, I was a second teamer for the lead actress, and it was a lot of fun, and from that I moved into the camera department for one episode, or not one episode, one series, which was pretty awesome and made me never want to work in camera again, and it was good. It was good.
Yeah,
A
and
lot of fun and
so Wildfire is another show that used to film here. It got canceled. It was like a family horse show. But it shot here for a number of years. It was one of the first TV shows to actually shoot in Albuquerque. So but yeah, so second team is stand-in. So you are you so your job on those sets was to stand in for the actors. So when they and that's so usually what happens on a set is they bring in the actors, they do a rehearsal. And then they do a blocking rehearsal where they put markers on the ground and they put everybody where they need to be for camera. And then they call second team and that would be you in that case, and you go in and you stand there and they light your pretty face until the actors come in. And so you've done a lot of that, right? You even did it for Book of Eli, right?
Yes, I've done it for probably about 5 years. So
Yeah. Is that a pretty fun job? Is it just takes all day sometimes, but
well, I definitely think it's the next best thing to acting, standing in. You get to learn a lot more than acting techniques. You get to have really amazing acting lessons by watching really skilled actors do their craft all day long, and it's definitely can be a great learning experience, and you work with the DP
Does it get boring or does
I mean
there's
no,
good and
I
bad, right? I mean
I
working
never...
on a set is never like super fun. I mean, trust me, it's never super fun. I mean I'm sure stand-ins have its ups and downs too, right?
Well, I liked it, and I worked with DPs, and I worked with operators, I worked with the director, so it's not like I worked
yeah,
with
fun.
PAs and you know, people who weren't really adding into the creative elements. I get to work one-on-one with the director of photography, you know, when lighting or
PAs add a little bit to
operators.
The creative thing.
Yeah,
they
get water when you're thirsty, and
and they
really
block the
nice
sidewalks.
And,
no, I'm not saying anything mean about PAs. I love the PAs I've worked with.
I'm not either.
It's
are nice.
Yeah.
And for everybody out there, PAs are called production assistants, so
yes.
They shorten that to PAs. But they're with the actual directing or with the directors people. So, like, they assist the directors in making everything on set run smoothly, just so you guys know what PAs are.
Yeah, so that's you acting for second team and things like that. But let's talk about your indie stuff. I mean, you've done a lot of indie acting, and you've done other things like photo spreads and things like that. How is that in Albuquerque? Do you think it's a good place to be for that kind of work, or you know, getting into the indie scene, or would you disagree with the list and think that Los Angeles might be where you need to go? Because I've heard other actors say that they still have to go to Los Angeles because that's where they cast the big roles. But what do you think, Michelle?
I think that most of our films come here with a full cast. There's usually only day player roles available. And I think for some people, going out to LA is just doing what needs to be done. I think it just depends on the individual. I've been fairly lucky and happy to just be working, and I'm all about filmmaking and working with good people and creative people. So I'm not necessarily trying to conquer Hollywood at this moment in my life, nor have I ever been. So I just like working. I'm an actor who just wants to work. And most people in LA, I think, have the same concept. Everyone just wants to work. It doesn't matter to what degree. Like, you know, it just depends on the individual. I'm happy here working and being close to my family and living a very comfortable life, opposed to being in LA struggling, dealing with really snooty duty people and being really far away from my family. So New Mexico has just worked out the best for me, and I feel like I've had a fair amount of opportunities, and I've definitely read for all of the films, or most of them, that have come through. So I feel like I've been given a fair chance. And if they cast out of LA, well, then they do. And in the meantime,
about this casting in LA thing. I mean, it's a little bit weird. I mean, you're right. I mean, they do cast some in Albuquerque, and there's casting agencies here, and there's casting auditions all the time. But it's always for, like, the role of the bartender or the waiter,
right?
You know, the little one thing liner thing. So even people who are in the SAG here usually just get jobs where they just have a couple lines, or they're just in the intro of the episode or something like that. And that's something that I think is a little bit strange. It's because it's not that they just cast the big roles. That's not just the stars that they cast in LA. It's like everything except the tiny stuff. Dominic, you've worked, you've worked with casting and stuff. Why is that? Why don't they cast here?
Well, it's when you get down to the bottom of especially bigger productions, well, any productions in general, it becomes a thing about money. And you have so much money to do certain things. So when the producer first comes onto the project and is working with the accountants and the executive producers, what they do is they take the script, basically break it down and say, where are we going to put our money at? And sometimes it goes to special effects, and other times it goes to a big ensemble cast. But what basically happens is they prioritize how many roles they're going to give top dollar to. And so
that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking about the casting thing. Why don't
But that's how it evens out. Because what happens is they go, okay, these are the top dollar people we're going to do, and they automatically say, okay, we're going to get these roles from LA. And then they go, and then they go, well, these lines we don't have to pay as much for. And there are fewer lines, so we're just going to cast them locally. And it just gets broken out that simple.
But is it a peace of mind thing? Like, do they feel safer casting out of LA?
It's because it goes back to the whole idea that if you have more recognizable people, people are going to want to see it more. And so what they do is they go to LA first, and they want their starlet or, you know, a big actor. And then what happens is their names.
Actors.
But then those named actors drop out for whatever reason, and then they got to go to their second best and their third best.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the main actors. I'm talking about the smaller roles that aren't roles.
Even if, especially for TV shows and like Breaking Bad and Plain Sight and stuff, you have these roles that are for, you know, a person that is like a pseudo main character, and it's going to be just for that episode. And that would be a great role for somebody to have here in New Mexico. But since they are already going for the LA casting, they cast them out of there.
They can afford it.
Which it's just a weird way to look at it. And they should trust what's here more, but they just don't know what's here as much.
Well, I'm going to change that. My vow is to bring Hollywood, to turn Albuquerque into an indie Hollywood.
But what happens really is, You sit in a casting session, and you get to see these actors perform. And what's weird is it's just that the pool is smaller than you think with actors here, especially in the different demographics that they need, as far as age groups and ethnicity. And what's weird is like these people will come in, and sometimes there's directors that don't want to live by that certain criteria and go, I want to find somebody locally to do this. Just because they want to give somebody the chance, which is really awesome. But what happens is that, you know, they look for that demographic or that person, and it just never pops up. Or sometimes it does, but that actor isn't that great. So there's like a lot of things to balance that just aren't working.
Dominic, you're always on the side of the suits.
What are you talking about? I'm explaining how the process works.
No, you're probably right.
That's just the process.
I've met a lot of talented actors here in Albuquerque, but we've already reused a lot of them. I mean, met Michelle, we've used twice. I mean, well, a lot of times we like the actors and we want to work with them again, but, you know, a lot of times it's like, you know.
It's hard, too. I mean, I've sat next to directors and they completely understand that it's a hard place. I feel so nervous for actors when I see them in an audition because it's like so on the spot. And so, like, you shake their hands, and they're so nervous. They have cold, sweaty palms, and they just have five people watching them. And it kind of prepares them for the set because there's, like, a crew of 50 watching you. But it's still a very nerve-wracking thing to be in a room and to do that. And sometimes a great performer could do horrible in an audition just because it just slaps you on the side of the head. It's the element.
An audition is nerve-wracking. I've actually been at one and I didn't like it at all. But Jay, as far as like our movies, it's like there's a lot of actors like Michelle, a lot of young, you know, looking to the stars actors. You know, if we want to make a movie about 20 somethings, we have a pickin', right? But you know,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but it's these demographics. The second we need an older person or, you know, somebody a little bit different, it's like, where do we find these people, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's tough to cast older people. Like, I don't know. We know a couple older male actors, but I think it's hard finding older female actors here.
Well, you know, it seems like there's a lot when we go to the theaters and things like that. But the thing is, you know, these people aren't on Facebook when we do our audition. You know,
another thing. Yeah, it's really hard.
How do you get a hold of old
someone.
People?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like how do you find old people? You have to write.
Well,
them
and
letter.
I think that's why it's so important. At least, you know, maybe this is advice for anybody out there throughout the rest of the country to like go visit your local theaters and watch shows and then approach, you know, actors that you like in that show afterwards, you know, and you know, get their contact information that way. So
yeah, it works. And sometimes we've casting directors, they'll know of actors that they really think are good but just don't get the benefit of the doubt, who are in local plays, and what they'll tell the director or the producer is, you know, you should go see this play and just see this person in it. And they'll actually go watch it and then come back and go, wow, that person's really good. And they get cast that way sometimes.
Yeah, theater, I mean, we like looking at theater for actors for sure. And but if you're an actor, there's a lot to say about self-promotion, right, Michelle? I mean, you get your face out there. I mean, meet us. Come meet the movie makers, you know. Don't if there's an audition, there's no role too small. That's what I would.
It's very true. You can't like to say I'm only an actor that has speaking lines, and you won't go and you won't, a movie like a big movie could hire you and not have you say any line, and you want to say lines, but that's how you get your face out there. You got to take some for the team and get
and
your
take
face
a job.
There.
You know, take a job like a stand-in. You know, swallow your pride. It's not a big deal. It's better than, you know, doing a lot of other things like locations. Just kidding. I like locations.
Well, remember this. Movies are a visual medium first. That's what they were at the very beginning when movies were first invented. So, you know, it's a visual medium. So, like what you were saying, get your face out there, you know. Don't worry about how many lines you do or don't have.
But get on Facebook, even if you're old. Get on Craigslist, even if you're old. You know, it's like, that's where people look these days. So, you know, it's. But Michelle, would you say Albuquerque is? I mean, Albuquerque is number one on the list to work and to work in film and live here. But I would say it's not number one on the list to be an actor. Still, would you is it number one for the small roles but not the big roles, or is it just not even close to number one?
I think it could be number one definitely for the small roles. I think it also has a lot to do with like the three main casting directors here in town, and there's definitely still very political Alex, but so it's definitely, politics play a huge role in it, so it's definitely who you get to know right off the bat, and so, you know, just depends on that too. I know some people that continuously work on every single film. You know, they never have to worry about anything, and it's because some casting directors just know they're an ace in the hole, and the director's going to dig them, and they're going to be reliable and, you know, follow through. So then, yeah, so they're just an ace in the hole every single time, every single cop role, every single, you know, bodyguard, whatever, security guard. There's, like, just people that go out for the same thing. If there's, you know... Some of the casting directors just pick you and they like you and you get to read for everything. So it just depends on that as well.
So suck up to the casting director.
It's a very big thing. Yeah. I mean, you get to, you get to see some weird stuff with casting directors. There's definitely people that the actors, they really like, and you'll see them audition all the time for any roles, not even roles that the demographic is met for.
Doesn't fit.
Yeah, it doesn't even fit.
Just because they're well liked and they you know they'll show up. I mean, stuff like
that. But you know, a lot of people are smart in that way. I see actors that actually become assistants for casting directors and work close with them, building mm-hmm. that bond, and also getting to see actors audition all the time, so that way they know what to do and what not to do, and it becomes very educational for them. So that's another thing that I've seen actors do.
Yeah, but you know, but if you're an actor and you're in, let's say, St. Louis, I'd say come to Albuquerque. I mean, it's much better than St. Louis. I mean,
tell them to stay there, Alex.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, come here.
Yeah, I'm just making fun of St. Louis because that art.
No, I want to use some new actors. Bring them over.
Yeah, bring over the new actors.
No,
healthy.
Or use some new ones.
Bring them over if they're not 5'5" and they're 20s with brown hair and brown eyes, then yeah, sure, the more the merrier. Bring them, all of them.
Okay, everyone who doesn't
the rest
look like
of you,
Michelle,
stay away.
Yeah, everyone who doesn't look like Michelle,
you're welcome.
Come over here, please. But yeah, people who look like Michelle, we have a Michelle, and she's great. Don't even bother.
Thank you. Stay away.
All right, guys. Well, I think that kind of wraps up our first thing. Any update for the proxy, Jay? How's that editing going? We only have about a week left, or 2 weeks. Huh?
True that. Editing's going very well. The big challenge is going to apply in all the special effects that we have to do with it, but shouldn't be a problem.
Effects, yeah. But,
it's going very well. I've got pretty close to a cut, and yeah, I don't know. It's getting okay. there.
It's very well, and it's getting there. Good, good. So I'm glad it's going very, very well.
Wow.
All right, guys, we're gonna go on to Schmollywood. We'll see you there. And it's Schmollywood time. Usually we talk about Hollywood on this segment of the show, but I want to keep it indie. I want to talk a little bit about the Sundance Film Festival, which is going on right now. Right, guys?
Totally. Yeah. Should be a lot of fun.
Well, I wish we were there. I've always wanted to go to Sundance. I'm sure that'd be a lot of fun, but I'm sure it's very
expensive.
We'll
have a movie to enter when we go to Sundance.
Yeah, exactly. But Sundance does keep it very indie, and I know there's some maybe some confusion on what we call indie, because we call ourselves indie and these other movies indie, but indie basically means independent film, and that means films that aren't backed by a studio, and that includes us, and that includes everything at Sundance. Okay, so I just wanted to talk about some of the movies that are playing there, because some of them are getting a lot of hype. One of them is called Splice. Jay, we made a movie called Splice a long time
ago. We did make a movie called Splice, but ours was more of an action thriller. This one's more of a sci-fi thriller.
Yeah, it's kind of a sci-fi thriller. It's about splicing in humans with animals, Dr. Moreau style. Anyway, that looks interesting. Another one's called Holy Rollers, which I thought sounded kind of cool. It says a young Hasidic man, like a Jewish, whatever, religious guy named Sam, is seduced by money, power, and opportunity when he becomes an international ecstasy smuggler. Huh?
Nice.
Holy Rollers.
Nice.
Huh?
I love to roll, 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 roll.
What?
Anyway, so that stars the kid from Zombieland that looks like Michael Cera, but it's not. Another one is I'm Here, which is a Spike Jonze movie about robots, but it's a short. So Spike Jonze has a short in Sundance.
Yeah, a 30-minute short about a robot falling in love or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds...
Seems interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. There's one with, Ben Affleck about, businessmen that looks really boring. Yeah.
Boiler Room?
No.
Boiler Room 2.
But there's a couple of thrillers, and both of them sound a little bit similar, but I think one sounds better than the other. I'll let you decide, too. But one is called Buried, and this one stars Ryan Reynolds, which he is pretty much the only one in the movie. And it's about a U.S. contractor working in Iraq who awakes to find that he is buried alive in a coffin with only a lighter and a cell phone. It's a race against time in this claustrophobic death trap.
I want to see that, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Buried Alive, I used to think that was a big deal, but if I learned anything from Kill Bill, it's just you just got to punch the top of the coffin and you can just get out, right?
Oh, totally, totally. I like the shots in that movie, how it was shot. There's some, I saw a couple of clips from it. It looks kind of cool.
From Buried?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then there's another one that's kind of in the same spirit, and it's called Frozen. And it's about a single room thriller set on a ski resort chairlift. The story follows three college students who are mistakenly stranded on a chairlift and are forced to make life or death choices to prove more perilous than staying put and freezing to death. So it's about three dudes on a chairlift sitting there in the cold. And
I don't like anything with snow. I don't like snow.
Or three
moves.
Dudes.
Snow and mountains are not my thing.
So would you rather be buried alive with a cell phone or stuck on a chairlift in the middle of winter?
Buried alive with a cell phone, definitely. That was easy.
Really?
I would rather be stuck on a chair, I think.
Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah, I'd be stuck on a chairlift in this freezing cold.
Because if anything, just jump.
And you have a better, I think of a better chance of being saved on a chairlift than in a coffin.
I have awesome digging skills. I'll find my way out.
Yeah, yo.
There's also another movie. I heard an interview with the actor and the writer of it called Big Fan, which sounds kind of interesting, but I don't know if it's any good.
I think that's already out. Is that with
it was playing at Sundance. It's not?
No, is that the one with that baby-faced comedian dude?
Yeah. Oh, that's already out.
That played at the Guild months ago, dude.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right. But another one that I thought looked really cool was one called Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And let me read the pitch to you here. This Canadian horror comedy follows two West Virginian hillbillies who go on vacation to their dilapidated mountain cabin, but their peaceful trip goes horribly awry when a bunch of college kids show up. Basically, it's the story of the typical hillbilly horror film told from the other side. And as it turns out, the hillbillies aren't evil and are only mistaken as psycho killers through a series of misconstrued circumstances. I think that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, especially since you hate those kind of movies, like where the hillbillies show up and kill everybody. It would be nice to see it from the other perspective.
I do hate hillbilly horror movies just because I'm so frustrated. It's like, how do you talk to these stupid people and talk sense into them? Which you can't, which is what's so horrifying about them. Although I do like...
Well, it just seems like an easy, you know, plot device. Oh, make them, you know, stupid hillbillies.
Yeah, stupid hillbillies.
Just so uninventive.
Yeah. But yeah, so I like this. This kind of feels like Shaun of the Dead, like the first of a comedy horror thing that will get ripped off a bunch of times to me. But that's Sundance. You guys hear of any other movies that you're interested in?
Oh, not really. I haven't been. I know it's been going on, but I haven't really been following it. Unfortunately, yeah. It'd be nice just to go and like.
Well, it's hard to follow it because you know you never heard of these movies. Michelle, you gotta stop. You're typing like really loud.
Sorry.
It's okay. But let's move on. It's what else were we gonna talk about?
Gremlins.
So let's talk about reboots and sequels. I mean, I every time we talk about this, I get really angry and ticked off, but I'm going to try not to do that this time. Let's talk about Gremlins 3. This is this is in development. Gremlins, as you remember, are those 80s puppet things. So what do you think?
I didn't only hear it was Gremlins 3, but I heard it was going to be Gremlins 3D.
Oh, I thought that went without saying. Everything's 3D now, right?
Ooh, I mean, Avatar. Right in your face.
Yeah, Avatar made it so we get to rehash all our old sequels, but in 3D. Right, but...
Well, I don't know. They've been doing Jaws 3D. I mean, they've been doing it forever. But,
yeah,
you know what?
New
3D. Here's another... You know, we don't know what to make, and it worked in the past, so let's do it again, but let's do it in 3D, because it's sure to make money. And there you go, Gremlins 3. The crappy...
Gremlins. Hey, I said we're going to keep a more positive attitude. I mean, because here...
I'm always positive. You're the negative one. I'm just.
You're more negative than me, dude. You're always like, I don't care. That's all you say. I don't care. I don't care. Anyway, I don't care either, really. One thing that you got to wonder about Gremlins 3D is the thing that's so charming about the first two Gremlin movies is the puppetry, right? It's that these are little Muppets that are...
Oh, forget the puppetry in this one.
Well,
dude, we got computers now. We don't need to waste no time with no, like, hands up any stuffed animals' butts.
They get to run on the ceilings, and they get to have lightsaber battles.
Yeah, cool. I know. Well, Slash Film, who covered the story, they mentioned it. They said the big controversy with this project, which also has popped up several times in the past, lies with the implementation of puppetry versus CG. It's futile to hope that for a completely CG-free experience, especially since the studio is aiming for 3D. Instead, I'm hoping for a more seamless combination of puppetry and CG, like we saw in Where the Wild Things Are. And I would agree, if they somehow made the 3D CGI look like the old puppets, I think I'd still be on board. Because I like the Gremlins movies, personally. I don't know.
I don't know. It depends on, you know, how serious they want to push this movie. Like, you know, if it's just something they're going to shoot over the course of 2 months and just, you know, knock out in theaters, obviously the CGI puppetry combo is not going to look good. I don't know. It just...
Michelle, what do you think? You're down for Gremlins 3? Or what do you think?
Yes, I am. It's been a long, long time since I've seen Gremlins, so I'd be excited for some new and improved artistic elements, and yeah.
Were you guys scared of Gremlins as kids?
I don't think I ever was. No.
No?
I liked the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yes.
Honestly, I wasn't able... I was my parents didn't let me watch them, so I had to like watch them at a friend.
Oh, this was a banned film for you, Dominic.
Yeah, I had to watch it on the DL, down low.
Yeah, I've had some of those too.
But I wasn't afraid of them.
Well, good. There's nothing to be afraid of.
I was afraid of Chucky.
Yeah, well, who was it, man? That was freaky. But I was afraid of the Neverending Story.
I was afraid of everything.
I was afraid of the wolf from the Neverending Story. That freaked me out as a kid. When it's like, I'm the messenger of the nothing. And he breathed like that.
I was afraid of the Nazis from Blues Brothers.
The Nazis from the Blues Brothers? Oh, they were harmless Nazis. Just kidding. Okay.
I was afraid of Alice in Wonderland.
Well, that's a little... That's,
the Jabberwocky.
The Jabberwocky? No.
I was afraid for Return to Oz.
The Return to Oz was freaking weird. The Wheelers. So scary movies for kids. All right. I don't think kids get scared like we used to at movies, though.
They're fine.
They have the internet. They can look up what's real and not pretty quick. Other news. It looks like they're thinking about making some more Planet of the Apes. They're thinking of, instead of doing a sequel to Tim Burton's or another kind of reboot, they are going to do a remake of the fourth Planet of the Apes movie, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which chronicled the apes' brutal overthrow of humanity. What do you guys think?
Oh, good.
Never seen Planet of the Apes, so bring it on.
Well, I could say with confidence that I've seen every single Planet of the Apes movie and parts of the TV show, and I kind of like it, and I'm kind of down with this idea. I mean, if they're going to reboot movies, I mean, this seems a little bit original. I'd rather them make original stuff, of course, and indie stuff if possible. But, you know, I mean, why not? That sounds kind of cool. Jay, you think that sounds interesting?
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's why, you know, these Hollywood folks reboot movies. It's for people like Michelle or myself who haven't really seen any of the Planet of the Apes. So it's like, let's just create new ones for a new generation.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that, but it has to be... I mean, but it's a delicate thing to reboot movies. This isn't doing what Spider-Man's doing and doing it too soon. I mean, the Planet of the Apes remake was in 2001, so that was almost 10 years ago. And then the other movies are from the 60s. So, you know, I'm on board with this one. Dominic, I don't care. I don't care. No, Dominic, what do you think?
It's interesting that I have never been a big fan of Planet of the Apes, but I'm kind of interested to see where they take it. So, I mean, I kind of raised my eyebrow. I mean, it seems like it'd be something worth checking out, you know?
Okay, let's should we even talk about Mortal Kombat? Does anybody have anything to say about a Mortal Kombat reboot?
I used to play the video game.
Okay.
I saw Mortal Kombat 1. I liked it, but then they did so many Mortal Kombat movies, so many.
I liked him. I liked Scorpion. I remember him. He's cool.
Yeah, Scorpion's cool. All right, so whatever. You know, this move. I guess this news is just kind of boring. Schmollywood, there's not much going on this week.
I heard that they were going to be, they were possibly thinking about doing another 10,000 Leagues Under the Seas here. I heard that a while back.
Like in the studio, then, because there's no ocean here. That's one thing we don't have.
Right. Yep.
But... Our very own McGee was supposed to direct that. Not our very own.
Yeah.
Albuquerque's McGee?
Well,
No, not Albuquerque.
He's coming back.
I heard he hand selected Albuquerque, New Mexico for that. So we'll see, I guess, huh? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really heard that, or you just making that up?
No, I really heard that a while back, actually, because he loved the location. He bought a house here, I think, here in Santa Fe, and he really liked being able to shoot here and live here.
Did you ever meet Mitchie?
He was impressed. No, I did not. In my dreams.
I did.
You did? Was he pretty nice, yeah. Dominic?
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy. He just was really busy, as, you know, directors are when they're prepping, and that's when I met him, so.
Yeah, I actually heard good things about him. From the other crew members. The DP, yeah. Christian Bale, didn't like, though. We all know that. But okay, let's That's enough for Schmollywood. Let's go on to Think How I Think. All right, guys. Okay, Think How I Think. It's movie review time, and the four of us, we went and saw The Tooth Fairy. No, we didn't. I'm just kidding.
Brilliant movie.
but we saw a couple of Albuquerque movies. It's the Albuquerque show, so let's talk about Albuquerque movies. Let's first talk about Book of Eli. Book of Eli is the Denzel version of The Road, basically. But it was shot in Albuquerque, mostly on green screen at the Albuquerque studios, the Q studios.
Actually, it was a lot of location, on location.
Was there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were on set. You were standing on the set, Michelle. So yeah, where did you guys shoot? Just real quick.
We shot next to the studios. We shot in White Sands, Carrizozo, New Mexico, as well as at the studios. But we did a lot of on location.
Yeah.
Cool. A lot of empty dirt roads.
I think what they did is they actually shot CG. Over blue sky and CG'd the sky around, right?
Yeah.
What they did.
That's exactly what they did.
You were the stand-in for Mila, right? Mila Kunis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll get to Mila Kunis, but yeah. So it's a Book of Eli. Let's talk a little bit about it. I thought that it was a pretty cool movie, mostly. What do you think, Jay?
It was mostly good. I agree as well. I don't think it's a masterpiece by any means, and I just think what it lacked kind of hurt it more than, you know, is necessary. I really like the premise. I thought the idea was really cool, but it just didn't take me as far as the movie, you know, I think could have gone.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. It kind of comes off like, you know, a little action piece, but there was only a couple action moments, and I think it could have, you know, benefited with a little bit more heavier duty action sequences. Maybe one more action sequence, I think.
Yeah, well, you're always thirsty for action, but
I am.
It may have been a little bit anticlimactic. You might be right, Dominic.
Well, and some things just, well, hold on. Some things just like bugged me about it. Like we were talking about the sky and the clouds. I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but I couldn't keep my eyes off of it. There were these puffs of green in the clouds all the time. And
puffs
I just
of what?
Green. Like the color green was in these clouds. And I was just like, why? What? I couldn't figure out why that green was added into those clouds. It just looked nice to me. But other people said they didn't notice. So.
Well, wait, what are you laughing at, Dominic?
I don't know. It's just something really random, but it makes it even funnier because, like, there's always something that, I don't know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there's, like, something that will really bug me that's, like, no one else sees but I do, and for some reason it just, like, drives me crazy.
Yeah,
and
I think that's kind of a nitpicky
one of those
thing
kind of
that,
things.
I mean, the movie was good, but you wanted more action, and you didn't like the green in the sky.
Well, some things just didn't make sense. You know?
Yeah, there was some story issues. Dominic, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, because it was filmed here and I had friends that worked on it, I actually knew the twist that happens in it, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah, and I knew it too, actually, but it doesn't
but,
matter.
You know,
go on.
Knowing that, I appreciated it a little bit more than I thought I would because I was looking for stuff for it. And but overall, I thought it was a little anticlimactic for me, but I did really get kind of taken into this world, and it was different, but, you know, it was cool. I mean, I thought, like, it could have used its own a little more of its own style or something. It just seemed kind of straightforward for me, but
you're kind of saying
really
the same
cool.
thing as Jay. Like, you liked it, but
the premise is really cool, yeah. I mean, but I enjoyed it, though. I really like its message. So I thought it was enjoyable for me. I'd see it again.
Yeah, Michelle, you loved it, right?
Actually, I loved reading the script. Watching the film, I think I don't know. I thought it was actually going to be a little bit better. I loved the premise. I loved that it was a faith-driven story. I think we lack a lot of that in Hollywood. So I thought it was good that it was inspiring. I think that it could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I think.
Just some of the minor details, but I thought overall it was really good and could have been better, but it was good. This reading the
Right.
script was
Like
amazing though.
all the elements are there. It just didn't hit
Okay,
those notes that it should.
it was lacking a little bit of something. I mean, it was a kind of a hodgepodge of a movie. I'd agree. I mean, some parts were just like amazing. And this is a book based off a comic book. I mean, this is a movie based off a comic book, and I think it's kind of one of those comic books like 300 or Watchmen. That's just like one series that just became a graphic novel. And they do a lot of comic booky things. Like a lot of times in these movies, you see these really violent scenes in silhouette, which I think is a pretty neat thing because it's disgusting without it being too disgusting. But I think maybe they followed the book too well or not well enough. I don't know. I didn't read it, but it seemed it, but it did. Like the action dies off at parts, and it gets repetitive at parts. And you both said it was kind of anticlimactic. I kind of agree. It kind of just ends really quickly. Like
Well, it doesn't make sense at the end. It is. I mean, not the whole Denzel story. That makes sense. The whole Gary Oldman story doesn't make
Yeah,
sense at
I
the
think
end.
that's what it is. Gary Oldman's motivations are a little bit sketchy. You know,
Well,
it seems like
not really. He runs everything. Why was his motivation be sketchy?
No, I mean, I guess his motivation to get the book is a little strange to me. It seems like he was a little
How
bit
is that
sane.
strange? It's complete control. He can dictate everything because it's the ability to read and the book is knowledge. So how is that insane? Wouldn't you want the book if you could control everything? No?
Well, I mean, I guess I don't see how the book can control everything. I mean, I know that I mean religion is very powerful. I mean, the book is a Bible. It's not a secret in the movie.
Well,
And
even if
it's the
it
last
wasn't,
Bible on Earth, and they and
yeah.
he's trying to get it because he thinks, I mean, because historically, I guess, religion has become very powerful for some people, I guess, and
Well,
thought he could lead some kind of new society with the Bible behind him
I
is
was
what.
thinking when I was watching it too, I was just like, a true bad guy, or just listening to some religions that are out there that, like, you can make your own religion and your own stuff that would, like, overrule people and make them follow you. So if somebody was true evil, I think that they have that
Well,
possibility of doing
yeah,
something
but
like that. So
was he really evil? He seemed like he was one of these
I don't know.
misunderstood villains that was trying to do good, but he was just doing it in a completely inappropriate way.
I don't think Gary Oldman did not seem misunderstood at all. He was the creepiest, crazy, jacked up dude. He
But
was
I talk about his
creepy,
motives.
totally.
I mean, it seems like. Go
I
ahead,
think
Ben.
he was just
Power
a lazy.
driven.
I think he was just a lazy guy. Instead of like creating his own religion, like Ron Hubbard did with, or whatever his name did with Scientology, he
Yeah.
just wanted to recycle a religion, because it was already written down. So, he's just kind of a lazy bad guy,
Well, I don't know, but
in
I don't
that
know if he was
sense.
try. I don't know if that was his motivation. I thought his motivation was either he remembered in the past that the Bible was so powerful, or he heard it was powerful or something. He truly thought that book. I mean, if he had the Bible in his possession, he could gain power.
Well, which
It
is kind
seems
of
as.
a cool idea,
No,
though,
it's a
and
cool
I think
idea.
that is it. That is what it was. I mean, he said that he did remember verses and stuff, and that's why he knows like how prayers go and how different things. He just has forgotten it, and he knows that it's a powerful piece, and he wants it back.
Well, yeah,
He
but
was
why
always
does he think? I
wanted
mean,
one.
he already has control over everyone around him. Why does he think that having the Bible would does he just think it would inspire the people to? I just don't really get his motive still. I just don't get what he thought the Bible could do for him in his
Yeah,
position.
that was, I don't know. It's a little gray. I don't know exactly
And I
either.
think that
Maybe
might
that's what
be.
it was lacking. I don't
Yeah, and
know.
I think that's what the movie's lacking. I think that's why it's a little anticlimactic, is you never he never you know he. he gets foiled at the end, you know. I mean, that's no secret, I'm sure, but it's not like a satisfying thing. Like, I don't really hate him that much. He's gross, you're right. And he's a murderer and he's psychotic, but he's not, you know, it's not like
not everybody else is like that either, you know. It's like everybody's like that in this society, you know.
Yeah, it's a gross.
My problem was at the very end, you know, he shows up back into his own town, being gone for like, I don't know, 6 hours, and everything is in chaos or something, and it's like,
yeah,
he lost.
It's very unclear.
It's like,
unclear.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah,
that's what drove me nuts. Like, he gets back into his, you know, hometown, and everything.
Because all
like,
of the guys die. All of.
Well, yeah, he like loses a lot. He loses a lot of his minions. Yeah, but anyway, that's kind of what I have a problem with. It. I think we all kind of are on the same page there a little bit.
And also there was a lot of there was some setups but no payoffs, and vice versa. Like, we actually know this local actress who was in the movie, and she plays this like cannibal. Or I don't know, this woman who, you know, pretends to have
girl.
Yeah, with the shopping cart and has unsuspecting bypassers try to help her out, and then all these thugs jump them, and you know, this happens at the beginning of the movie where Denzel lets her go, and then like it plays out like later on in the movie.
Yeah, she quickly finds
like
new thugs.
Yeah, she. What does she do? Does she go? Hey, does she plan this out with thugs? Does she go up to thugs and say, hey, I have this wacky idea that, you know, always works?
Yeah, well, she's an undeveloped character, and there's
you don't see her, like, you know, it happens a second time, and then she just disappears.
Yeah, and I would say similarly with Gary Oldman's head stooge. It seems like they thought he was a bigger character than he was. Like, he had a big triumphant death that's like, who? It's like, I don't even care about him.
Yeah, I mean, there's setups, but no payoffs. It's like,
and undeveloped characters. But that being said, it's really a pretty cool movie. There are some really cool action scenes. It has a really cool look to it. The story, I mean, Denzel's story, I think, is pretty clever, and I really like it. It's just the Gary Oldman story, I think, has the issues. But I mean, do you guys agree with me on that? There's a lot of cool.
Yeah.
Movie, right?
Would you no, no, there's a lot of cool
definitely.
Stuff,
that's,
but we haven't brought
that's
up.
Where we're, like most of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend it. I know what you're about to bring up, Jay, but would you recommend
the
this?
Biggest
movie
flaw
people?
Of the movie.
but Michelle, would you think it's a cool movie to see or no?
Yeah, I think it's definitely what we need more of in this world. Period. Even if it's not the best, I think we're on the right track.
Well,
so I think
you're talking about the religion being in the movie, and movies have been
not religion. I'm talking about faith. The fact that we can hope is good, and having faith in something, not specifically religion, just having faith in something is good. And Hollywood is all about TNA, and a lot of crap gets made. And I think it's about time that someone produce and invest money in something that's beyond crap.
Well, I
wish there was more TNA in movies. Thank goodness for a Hometown Time Machine.
there isn't as much TNA as there was in the 80s, I'd argue. But I think you're right. This movie has depth to it. I mean, there is some flaky things in it, but the story, the themes of the story, it's all there, and it has that feeling to it. It has that feeling that you saw something a little bit smarter than some other movies. But Jay, go on. What's the worst thing about Book of Eli?
The worst thing about this movie is Mila Kunis. She destroys any credibility that this movie has every time she shows up on screen, because she's terrible at it.
I agree. I think
she holds no weight, no depth.
Yeah, she looks out of place. She's dressed
out
of place.
Completely
out
of place.
Her hair is out of place.
She's too pretty.
Yeah. And she's totally. I mean, there's some parts where she freaks out, but she's like doesn't really fit in this world.
No, she doesn't fit in the world at all.
I mean, Michelle, you are probably pretty close to me, like if you were her stand-in. But Dominic, what do you think? Do you agree with us?
I was really expecting like Mila to just be completely like. Stick out like a sore thumb, but maybe because I was expecting her to be so horrible that I didn't really care too much.
You didn't
like,
think
I,
she stuck out as a sore thumb?
No,
I saw the jeans
like,
she was wearing in that post-apocalyptic world.
I kind of just took it in. I don't really... I mean, I noticed that, yeah, she was the most beautiful out of everybody else, but, you know, I just... To me,
it's not that she was
I don't
too
know.
Beautiful.
I, maybe
it's
maybe
that she
I've
was
just
dressed
been
too beautiful.
By,
she,
well, overwashed
you know, she was too clean.
Oh, she was too.
I mean,
well,
I don't know why.
Wait. Can I talk quick?
Yeah,
can
go
I talk?
Ahead.
Thank you. What I was gonna say is just that I don't know. It's this Hollywood thing. It's not the first time that you know the girl, whoever the you know person, the girl is in the movie is like the most beautiful thing in the movie, and it they don't even fit in correctly, and so. I don't know. I'm a little used to it, but I'm glad
well,
that.
I mean,
people...
I think
See,
a lot of
now you're being an
acting.
Apologist again. It's
I don't apologize for anything, and I don't even.
Yeah,
know
you
what
are. You kind
again.
Of are. You're like, oh, that's just
okay.
how Hollywood
okay,
is.
Alex.
It's just
okay,
like. It's,
you
but,
guys,
but,
I don't like that adjective. It doesn't mean anything. All right.
Well,
I'm
it's
not
kind of a. It's kind of a. Well, I say it like you apologize for stuff that instead of admitting something that something isn't right, you apologize for it. Like. It's
no,
like, oh,
I'm just saying this
Mila
is
Kunis.
My personal opinion.
Listen,
again,
listen.
I'm saying
no, listen,
that this
listen,
is what
listen,
I think.
Listen for a second. You're saying
okay,
that.
Okay, cut me off. Sure.
Listen. You're saying that that us saying that Mila Kunis looks at a place and is too pretty is just okay because that's what Hollywood does and you're used to it. That's what you're apologizing.
No, what I was saying that I was expecting that to happen and so it wasn't like a big deal to me. I guess. So, I mean, it definitely is true. That's what I said from the beginning. It's just, I don't know, it didn't really, like, bug me as much as it bugged me.
There is, that's always how it is. There's always an awesome, hot lead actress, no matter how grueling or how stupid or how post-apocalypto or Western. There's always a hot chick in it. There's not any movies that don't have... Hot
okay,
chicks.
Michelle,
in
I'm
it.
Not talking
like,
about the hot
like
chick, him. But Michelle, don't you think they should have messed up her hair a little, or made her a little bit dirty, or took
or,
makeup
you know,
off
put
her
some
face?
Dirt on her teeth?
Yeah. Well,
Jennifer Beals looked good. I mean, she was attractive.
Or
I don't
you know,
know.
Maybe
I thought
cast
they
Jennifer Beals
with
in that
Evangeline
movie?
Lilly instead.
Yeah.
I like when they do tricks like what was it? Shakespeare in Love, how they make Gwyneth Paltrow look really beautiful and she had great teeth and stuff, but they did just something really subtle. Like in one of the scenes, she had like wood or like this fanned out wood that she would brush her teeth with, and like the I don't know the lady that works with her or whatever is like, make sure to brush your teeth. But like I don't know, it's just like a subtle little thing that where they could kind of get away with it by like making some sense to. This girl's world, you know, that seems smarter than just having somebody completely beautiful with no justification, you know.
But that's true too. She was another undeveloped character. You really don't know what her motivations are either, really. I mean, especially at the end of the movie,
well,
I don't even know where she's going at the
yeah
end.
But she says in the beginning of the movie when she goes into the room to be with Denzel or to offer herself, she says that Gary Oldman owns her and her mother. So she says that it's evident, you know, that she's under their possession, or they're under his possession, rather.
She escapes pretty easily if she's a slave under guard or something. But anyway, Book of Eli, I mean, and there's other little things, too. Like, he locks her in the mine from the outside. It's like, what are they locking out? Bears? I mean, there's a lot of stupid things in this movie, but I would still recommend it. I mean, I know I'm not giving a very convincing argument, but I don't know if I'd pay full price for it.
Oh, Denzel alone is worth watching it. Yeah,
yeah, so. Denzel is cool. I mean, I guess
and
that's
Gary Oldman is good. So
yeah, Gary Oldman's basically Gary Oldman from The Professional, like the same guy. But I'd say for Denzel. Being a cool sword-fighting post-apocalyptic crusader, I think it's worth seeing just him. I mean, seeing it. I'm not sure I'm saying paying for it, but I'd say worth seeing.
Hey, go see it and pay for it because that's our business that we live in.
Go pay for it before you pay for Avatar again, please. And we have one other movie to talk about. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's not worth it. I'd say it would be hard to beat this movie for worst of the year. Even though it's only January, I would say that this was that bad. And we're talking about The Legion.
Oh, what just, a piece of junk.
Or just Sorry. Legion. Yeah, good Lord. I mean, this movie, it just boggles my mind that a movie this bad can be made. I mean, I'm just going to pick apart the plot really quick, guys. It was made
in Louisiana, right?
No, it was made here.
No, it was made in Louisiana, right?
It was made in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was St. made Louis. In St. Louis, yeah, where they're so proud of these movies. But, the Legion's about, like, God loses faith in humanity, and so he sends an angel down. He sends the angel Michael down to kill a baby that's about to be born for some reason that's never really said, and then he doesn't want to, and so he cuts his wings off, and so a bunch of other angels come, but these angels just take the forms of humans and they turn them into sharp-toothed zombies that sometimes jump around and kill people and sometimes don't. And anyway,
who cuss a lot, who swear and cuss a lot,
who say nasty things, and they hop around and they're little kids and they get shot up a lot, and then the other angel comes and they have some kind of fight, and then God forgives mankind for some reason and they save this baby, but the baby. Anyway, so that's basically the plot of the movie. But the most of the movie is just pairing off these characters and having them talk to each other, right?
Yeah, it's like what two haven't talked yet? What haven't had a scene yet? Oh, let's put those.
You know, it's funny because we always talk about developing your characters and making them, you know, somebody that you can relate to. But these guys like try to develop characters that no one likes.
But they're all idiots.
And you're just listening to them talk about themselves, and you're like, I care less what you have to say.
You're pairing up the dumbest people on planet Earth and listening to their conversations of stupidness.
About where they were. They try to do character development with just a lot of exposition, and they literally paired off these people. Like it was the dad and the son, and then it was the son and the girlfriend, and then it was the stranger and the son, the stranger and the dad, and the cook and the dad, and and the daughter and whatever. Anyway, just paired off these characters, and they just sat and they talked to each other about like their about
nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Not even about the perils of what was going on in the actual world and being ambushed by these demonic angels. They weren't even talking about that.
No, they're not.
Like, I mean, Tyrese's character, he had like a kid somewhere he's trying to get a hold of, and then he doesn't even talk about it again. the kid's dead, but I don't care anymore. I want to talk about my gun.
So the thing about character development is it doesn't matter what these people have done. It doesn't matter, you know, that's not what character development is. Character development is knowing who they are, like just, you know, just by a look in their eye or by how they talk or about what they do or what they talk about. You know, you learn about a character's personality is what good character development is. It doesn't matter if they have a daughter somewhere, and anyway.
Well, I'm all for like a little bit of backstory, so long as that pays off somehow.
Yeah, if it's relevant,
if it's relevant, it's just like all these people were talking. Oh, we have this going on. We have this going on. This is how we're all met up. But like, nothing ever, you know, comes together for any of these characters at the end. It's just
it's just such a stupid movie. it's so bad. And
it's a mess.
Oh, it's a mess. That's what we like to say these days. It's a mess.
It's a complete mess. Yeah. And the preview for this movie is such false advertisement, because you think you're going in to watch, you know, another action picture, and it's the first thing from an action picture.
I walked out of a book of, because we snuck into this from Book of Eli, I walked out of Book of Eli thinking, oh, that wasn't great. And then I walked out of Legion going, oh, Book of Eli was
Eli
awesome.
Was a masterpiece.
Yeah, because this was
seriously. So well, and speaking of the end of this movie, you could just tell that they shot like the last, you know, 5 to 10 minutes out there in L.A. on a green screen stage, because they didn't know what they were going to shoot here. And, you know, 8 months down the line, they got like all the actors back together and shot on a green screen. You could totally tell.
Really? Is that what they
I
did?
I thought
though?
They
you
were climbing
that?
Up on a fake mountain.
No, I think they did. I think they have so many problems because this was filmed in Santa Fe here in Albuquerque or New Mexico, and it that was like 2 years ago or something. So
yeah,
they sat on this and were trying
ago.
To figure out how to make it worth watching, and it's not still. So.
Yeah. And whatever happened to Dennis Quaid, man? He's in the worst movies these days.
Oh, well, yeah, Dennis Quaid. And
he's a good actor,
whoever played
too.
His son, Lucas Black.
Oh, yeah.
That is the worst actor of all time.
Oh,
he was the,
my God.
He was the kid in Sling Blade, believe it or not. But
really? But yeah, I guess you're right. But he's the kid in he's the guy in Tokyo Drift, and...
Yeah, all he does is look horrible. At everybody with the dumbest facial expressions of all time. He can't keep his mouth closed for 1 second. It's just like always gaping open.
Yeah, his mouth gaped open like an idiot.
Yeah,
and his name was Jeep.
Jeep.
And he had like the
and
worst.
And every time they said his name, you were completely taken out of the movie. Like if you weren't already, it's like, hey, Jeep. It's like, oh, I can't take
and
this
And he had
seriously.
The worst Southern accent. He was like talking like this. Whoa.
I think that's how that horrible actor really talks.
If him,
yeah, that's how he really talks. That's not a fake accent, which is very sad.
If that actor and Channing Tatum had a baby, that baby would be a very bad actor.
Oh God! Kill that baby. I wish
it would be retarded. It would just be,
you know. I wish God went through on his plan to destroy that baby.
I don't even know what movie we're talking about anymore. All right, so
I know.
The Legion. I mean, that's top running for worst of 2010. It has to. How could you get much worse than this? I'm not sure. but it was shot here. So yeah, if you want to spend money on something, go spend it on this instead of Avatar. Again, no, actually, don't spend money on Legion. God, good Lord. Oh my God.
Good thing we did.
Go see something else.
Yeah,
go see Piranhas 3D.
Piranhas 3D isn't out yet, but that looks interesting. We should have done a trailer reaction to that. but I think it's time we wrap things up. Thank you for coming on our show, Michelle.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So any projects on the line here?
Well, directing my first short online.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this earlier on the podcast. Yeah, the City with a Thousand Faces, or what's it called again?
No, City
with
No
People. City with No People.
Oh, yeah.
Not a hero with a thousand faces.
Yeah, City with No
People. That would be Legion.
Yeah, City with No People is a short film that you are directing, and we served as your crew. Basically, we've been shooting,
you guys are awesome.
Shooting weekends, yeah, and we're getting a cool little movie here. What do you plan on doing with this? Are you gonna put it online? Or are you gonna send it out somewhere? Or what's your plan?
We're gonna put it online and enter it into film festivals there, see what the response is, and go from there. So yeah, you guys have been awesome, and thanks for your help.
Oh, our pleasure, and yeah, we love you, Michelle. You're great in our movies too, and our movie voice. So it's the only one of our movies you can't find online, and it's because we're gonna try to do the festival thing too. But we're pretty happy with that. We did a little premiere of that the other night, and it was a lot of fun. And
yay!
Yeah, and you're Samantha Casey, and you're our starlet. But so,
I'm a nice girl.
you're a very nice character. Actually, you're not in that movie, but you play snotty and mean so well.
Thanks. It was fun and hilarious altogether. Stuff. Great.
But we just have a very short time to finish our movie, The Proxy, and we'll give you updates on that, of course. But other than that, I think that's it for our show.
The Proxy is gonna Roxy.
Oh. Nice.
That's not sorry. Funny, but I'm
laughing.
Right?
Yeah.
Stay away from drugs, little boys and girls. Stay away from drugs.
JT's a product.
right?
Michelle,
tagline.
Is that you or Lilith talking on that? Stay away from
drugs. I don't know. I can never tell. Lilith or Samantha Casey.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't seen it, check out our movie Cannibalist. Michelle's great in it, and it's a hilarious movie about marijuana and God and the devil. And
yeah, and I love it.
I love it.
It's great. It's much fun.
It's one of my favorite.
We're awesome.
Yeah.
It was like 100 degrees outside. We're sweating profusely, and it was amazing.
Yeah, but you.
I'd do it all over again.
But luckily, you were dressed very skimpily in it, so that's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to help the guys out here. Boobs
are
good.
Yeah, we like to keep our actresses very comfortable.
Yeah, it's
completely contradicting with what I said earlier about not having boobs. When it benefits the team, we can take one for it.
Wait, you were talking about boobs earlier? What?
Listen, if anybody out there needs a crew and they can't find one, just cast Michelle Laredo.
Yeah,
and
she brings.
You will instantly have a crew behind you.
Yeah.
Like, what? Well, okay. And yeah, like, these big burly men will show up to help with anything. I guarantee.
Yeah. They follow her like she's a Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Well. Well, boobs are good. That's true. But
boobs are great. Boobs are good.
So, okay. Thanks very much for listening. Please visit Indie Movie Cast. We welcome comments, questions, and suggestions. So log on and contribute. Remember, we don't only talk the talk. To see the movies we've made, log on to ultimatumpictures.com and then go onto our Facebook page and become a fan. So until next time, I'm Alex.
I'm Jay.
I'm Dominic.
I'm Michelle. Thanks.
And thank you, Michelle, for joining us. Indie Movie Cast was put into the public domain in 2010 by Ultimatum Pictures. So long.
Bye.
Yay! Bye.
Let's make babies. Just kidding.
I'll be in there in just a second.
Good. It's never fun to do alone.